It's good to see everybody here tonight. We're going to look tonight at the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter in chapter 3. And 1 Peter chapter 3 is a passage that should come home to all of us individually because of our responsibility, but also our privilege as Christians. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." Now, one of the great scenes of the New Testament and about the Apostle Peter who wrote that goes back to Matthew chapter 26. And Peter had claimed that he was going to stand with Jesus no matter what, that he was going to be there with him if he went to prison or even to death. Matthew 26, verse 35, said, Peter said, "Even if I must die with thee, yet I will not deny thee." Well, Jesus said, "Peter, you don't even know what you're talking about." He says, "Before, you know, the rooster crows tomorrow, you're going to deny me three times." Peter said, "No, it's never going to happen. It won't be that. I'll go with you even to prison or death." Well, he was unprepared, and he was unwilling to face the trial that was before himself and the other apostles of Jesus. Because we know that when it came to it, that they all ran away, and we know that Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him with his word of mouth, and all of the other apostles did with their feet what Peter did with his mouth, and they ran away and denied him in that way. So they were unprepared, and they were unwilling, and they were still cowardly to an extent and unsure of themselves, and Peter was one of those. But we compare Peter then with the Peter in Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, when he and John and the others were arrested and taken before the Sanhedrin council. They were threatened and told not to speak any more in the name of Christ. They were imprisoned for a while. They were beaten. And in Acts chapter 5, when they were arrested again and brought before the council and told that they should not, they were ordered not to speak anymore in the name of Christ, Peter said, "We must obey God rather than men." So you see the transformation that took place within him and his strength and his power and everything else during this time. Now, we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we begin at verse 13. 1 Peter 3 and verse 13. He says there, "And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. Fear not their fear, neither be troubled. But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. And having a good conscience, that wherein you are spoken against, that you may put to shame those who revile you, revile your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God should so will, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Because Christ also suffered for our sins, once the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." So it's hard to imagine the Peter of Matthew chapter 26 being the Apostle Peter of 1 Peter chapter 3, but it's one and the same person. And so now the Apostle Peter is not saying, "Well, here's what I'm going to do because I'm strong and I'll not ever deny Christ or anything like that." He recognized his sin, he repented, and he came back. And so when he did, because of the teaching of Christ, because he was an eyewitness of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, there was no fear in him anymore because of what God had told him to do, and Christ directed him in the Great Commission. So he went out and did what the Lord told him to do. But we look at that example and realize what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. To sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. In other words, be prepared for living and teaching the Word of God, and whatever consequences there may come, be willing to stand up to it. So we look at this, the preparation that we have to have is, Peter, we won't ever have to go through anything like Peter did, no doubt. We won't be threatened, probably not be beaten and thrown in prison and threatened with our life, although that could happen, and we know that it could. It is a possibility. But he says, sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. That's where it has to begin. The word Lord means, it's translated from the word, same word which sometimes is translated master or even ruler. So it's one with authority. Well, Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So Peter says, based upon that authority and that power of Christ, he says, sanctify him. The word sanctify literally means to be set apart for a work, for a service to be done. We are set apart by our faith and our obedience to the gospel. We're sanctified. In other words, we become the saints of God. And sometimes people have a misunderstanding of what a saint is. A saint is not someone who is perfect. A saint is one who believes and obeys the gospel of Christ, and we are forgiven of our sins, and we become the saints of God. But it comes because we obey the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are now become new. Now you think about who wrote that passage, and think about what Saul of Tarsus was before he saw the vision of Christ and on the road to Damascus, and he obeyed the gospel and became the great apostle Paul that he was, that he became. And so he says, therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. He understood that personally because that's what happened to him. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Now notice the preparation and where that begins by giving an answer. And it occurs within. It occurs with our understanding, our heart, our mind. It is not simply in knowing the Word of God. Now that's one of the foundations of it. We have to know that, and to an extent that we can at least teach others and make a defense as to why we believe what we do. Now again, we're not going to be able to answer every possible question that might come up. Now, sometimes there are questions we can't answer. And so it isn't saying you have to be able to have a ready answer for everything that's asked you. But he says, be prepared, sanctify Christ in your hearts, being ready to give an answer for what? To the reason concerning the hope that's in you. So we don't have to answer every question, but we need to be able to answer the very basic things as to why we believe and why we have this hope. And that preparation begins there by knowing the Word of God. It is not just on different ways and methods of evangelism that maybe we've talked about or heard about, but all of the things of evangelism, which is teaching the Word of God, teaching and giving answer, and all of these things go back to this same principle. Sanctify Christ in your heart. That's where it has to begin. That's the foundation of everything else. And Romans chapter 10, verse 10, Paul says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, it's the same principle, same thing, different way of describing it. Sanctify Christ in your hearts. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And so faith is the foundation which is in Christ Jesus. And as a part of this preparation, we have to prepare ourselves to defend what we believe. Now, you think, the gospel doesn't need to be defended. Well, it does. In fact, in Romans chapter 1 and in Philippians chapter 1 also, the Apostle Paul talks about being ready to defend or set for the defense of the gospel, to stand up for it, to stand up for righteousness and faith. in this life, if someone decides he wants to make a living as a boxer or a fighter in that way, in order to overcome and to be a champion, he has to do more than simply be able to punch somebody else. He has to defend himself, and that requires all the training involved to prepare for it. Well, spiritually, the same thing for you and me. We have to take the time to prepare ourselves by study and putting into practice and learning and prayer to prepare ourselves to be ready to give an answer. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now that's where that defense has to begin with you and me. We sanctify Christ in our hearts because we understand, we believe, understand, know who he is and what he's done for us. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible gives us a good example of some people who were doing this. Paul had gone to the city of Berea. He had actually been run out of town from Thessalonica and threatened with death. So he went to Berea, and he was preaching and teaching the gospel there. And it says, now these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. How are the people in Berea more noble? It says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and examined or searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now Paul didn't come in and say, here's what you've got to believe and here's what I'm telling you. He said, he told them no doubt to go and you find out for yourself. This is what the word of God says, and you go read it for yourself. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to be prepared, but we want people to be able to study and learn for themselves. That, we can't accept just because someone says it that it necessarily is the truth. We have to go back and be willing to study the word of God and to encourage others to do the same. So we prepare a defense. Now, the word translated defense in the New Testament usually, and it's a word that's interesting because it comes from the Greek word from which we get the word apology. And you think of apology, well, apology means we tell somebody we're sorry for something we've done, but the original meaning of that word is actually directly the opposite of that. It means to set a defense against an attack. And that's what the real word apology means. It's not I'm sorry for teaching or preaching the gospel and maybe your feelings are hurt because of what the truth says. That's not what an apology is. An apology is standing in defense of the message of the word of God and standing up for righteousness and faith no matter what happens. And that's what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3 and then back in Acts chapters 4 and 5. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 3, Paul says, my defense, and it's the word translated apology sometimes, my defense, and that's the true meaning of it, to them that examine me is this, and this is the gospel. And Paul says, that's what I stand upon. That is my defense against the attack of men. But to the extent of our defense, 1 Peter 3:15, to everyone or every man that asks you, whatever the reason with that we need to be prepared to answer why we believe what we do. Now again, it doesn't say you have to go out and be able to understand and answer every question that comes up because we're finite human beings. We can't do that. Sometimes there are questions that people ask that there's no answer to. And so we can't do that. But the asking provides an opportunity for us to begin to learn ourselves and also to help other people to know and to learn. And there's basically three categories into which people fall when they hear the message and hear the defense and the teaching that we do. Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was in the city of Athens, and there he went up to Mars Hill and he presented that great message in Acts 17 and about the death and resurrection of Christ and who the true God is as opposed to all of these idol gods that they worshipped. And at the end of that message, it says now in verse 32, of Acts 17. It says, now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, okay, it says some mocked. They made fun of it. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't believe that. So they just mocked. They mocked and went away. Okay, then it says, but others said, we will hear thee concerning this yet again. So they weren't really totally convinced yet, but they kind of believed maybe we want to hear more about this. So they had an attitude of, yes, we'll listen for more. So it's not necessarily a bad attitude. It's just that some people simply require more teaching than others. And so that's another category that people normally fall into. And the third one, it says, but certain men held unto him and believed. So some, what Paul said was enough for them to believe and to follow. So when we try to teach people today or set an example for them and bring them to Christ, we're usually going to get one of those kind of attitudes. Either they reject it completely, or maybe they want to hear a little bit more, and then some will be willing to accept it right then. But wherever and whenever this defense is made, you know, the church is going to grow. Look back in Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And this is a time when the apostles were beginning to be persecuted, the church was. It says, as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being more sore troubled because they taught the people and proclaimed in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in ward unto the morrow, for it was now evening. But many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. You go back to Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, about 3,000. Here it has now grown to 5,000 and still growing. But the persecution and the opposition had now begun. But look down at verse 13 of Acts chapter 4. Now when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's a powerful statement as to what Peter and John were as they viewed them. It says, when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, well, they didn't understand. Where did this come from? This was Peter who denied Jesus three times. This is John who was one of them that ran away. And then you read in the Gospel of John, seemingly he came back a little bit later. But they were all afraid. They turned away from Jesus and allowed him to be crucified. But it says, and they had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, they were not illiterate. They could read and write. But as far as the educated people of Jerusalem and the high priests and those people, they were just ordinary people. They weren't highly educated. They didn't know much. But it says they marveled because, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You know, there's the point. There's the bottom line. And that's why he says, sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. But how do we present the defense of the gospel? Well, we have to present it according as Jesus would have us to do, with gentleness and meekness is where it comes from us. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he says, be ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear. Gentleness, meekness. And that's closely related to humility. Matthew 5 and verse 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek does not mean weak and cowardly. Meek means one who is willingly submissive to the will of God. He says that's how we are to live. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Well, God will do the exalting. We don't have to do that. We don't have to boast about what we do or can do. We have to be very careful about the attitude that we take. God has marked us and them as lost souls until we believe and obey the gospel. Someone said handling these things is like handling and carrying light bulbs or eggs. We have to be very careful with them. Well, that's the way we need to be towards people who need to hear the gospel of Christ. We don't need to make it sound to them like we're on the attack. We simply believe and we accept and we present the message of the Lord faithfully to them. But also, he says, with fear or with reverence, as another translation says, for reverence for God and for ourselves, that we should not be afraid to present the message of the gospel in the sense that we don't do it because we're afraid, but fear that we have not studied and learned enough, that we need to make sure that we're on a solid foundation in trying to teach others to the best of our ability. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That's not just fear of doing wrong. It's fear in the sense of respect and willingness to follow and to obey. Well, Peter wrote to Christians who were suffering because of persecution. We'll look at a couple of passages here. 1 Peter 1 verse 6, he says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials." Well, Peter had been persecuted. He'd been through a lot of persecution by the time that he wrote this. And in fact, it was coming near to the time of his own death and his own crucifixion that he was going to die for the cause of Christ. So he was writing to others and saying, "Here, I'm going through this and we're going through this together." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." So Jesus gave himself and his own life over to the Father, knowing that he was going to suffer and even persecution and even crucifixion. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you through as though a strange thing happened unto you, but insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice at the revelation of his glory. Also you may rejoice with exceeding joy." Peter says, if you're persecuted, you know, don't blame God. Don't say, "Well, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me?" Take the attitude that this is a great joy. This is a great blessing to be able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Verse 14 of 1 Peter 4. He says, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his name." Suffering for the cause of Christ is a reason to glorify God, because we've been faithful, and God's going to bless us for it. One more passage. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5 and verses 8 and 9. He says, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand and steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world." He says, there, be watchful. The devil goes about as a roaring lion. He attacks, but we have the power to be able to overcome. Now you think about what happened in Peter's day. People were imprisoned. They were beaten. They were beheaded. They were rubbed with pitch and tied to poles and set afire. And they were thrown to lions to be torn apart and eaten. And all those things happened because they were faithful to the Lord. Now we may not be required to suffer that way, but still we have to be prepared. That's why Peter says, be prepared or ready to give answer. It remains relevant every day that our faith and our strength is always there to be ready to give answer. In Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, verse 5, It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. In other words, with people who are outside of Christ. Redeeming the time. The word redeeming the time means to literally to purchase the opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity we have to set an example to teach others whenever it's there. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, with grace, with care and concern for the salvation of other people. Seasoned with salt means that we have to be prepared, as Peter says, to give an answer, even if it's a difficult answer, for the reason that we believe. He says that you may know how you ought to answer each one. What Peter says and Paul says the same thing. Be prepared, study, and to learn. Now, this evening we have to be prepared, first of all, by believing and obeying the gospel. And when we do that, every day we live is a service to the Lord to be prepared for His service. This evening, if there is a need in your life or whatever it may be, if we can help in that way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
So does the voice of it.